The book of Revelation. Now I know the last 4 weeks I've been preaching from Genesis. And I got to chapter 3 in 4 weeks. So I figured if we're ever going to find out the end of the story, I'd just skip to the back of the book. So we're in Revelation chapter 19. It's a happy ending. Praise the Lord for that, because the way it started out didn't look too good. A lot of the ways things are going on now in the world doesn't look too good, but our God reigns. Let's read chapter 19. I'll read the whole chapter. Even the scary bits I'm going to read. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgment. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne. And they cried, "Amen, hallelujah!" Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters, like the loud peals of thunder shouting, "Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people." Then the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said, "Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the spirit of prophecy who bears for it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus." I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He'll rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and his thigh he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried out in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, "Come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of all kings, generals, and the mighty, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, great and small." Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet who has performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he has deluded those who have received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. Two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. When's the last time you heard that last verse read in church out loud? May God add a blessing and instruction from his word. This is serious stuff about being ready. That little track, now you understand about the little track Jen got us to give away. Are you ready? The Lord is coming. Are you ready? We need to be ready for a great judgment day that's coming. Now, we looked at Genesis chapter 1 and we saw that God made the world and he made it good. We looked at Genesis chapter 2 and said God put man and woman in the garden and he gave them the option to obey. He put a tree in the garden and he said, I don't want you to eat from that tree. So they had an opportunity to love God through obedience. And we see chapter 3 that man and woman decided not to obey, and that Adam did what I've often done, which is he blamed what he ate on his wife. Isn't that what he did? The woman you gave me, and I ate. And the rest of the story is the tragedy of man's rebellion. You see, the irony of the verse I really want to focus on is verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah, for our God Almighty reigns. The irony is that we like to sing God reigns. We look forward to the time when his reign will be complete. But right now, it's hard to obey him. Can I get an amen on that? It's hard because sin is so fun. That's the problem. Someone asked me one time, well, why did you eat that many donuts? And I said, have you never eaten donuts? And that's true for every kind of sin. Now, I've said this many times, and I'll probably say it many times again, but we're pretty comfortable with our sin, but other people's sin is an offense to us. And I've said, it's like spit. I'm comfortable with my spit, but your spit is really gross. So that there are temptations that speak to me but don't speak to you at all. And there are temptations that draw you but don't affect me at all. It's like I watch TV and I see a commercial. They'll have a commercial for some kind of whiskey. And now I've got a great big TV. And so the glass that they're pouring the whiskey in is about this big in my living room. You know, the ice cubes are like so. And the brown liquid comes pouring in, and I think, as big as it is, I don't get the connection. There's no temptation. I think, what's the big deal? And right after that, they'll have a commercial where there's a burger that's this big. And it's got multiple layers, and the cheese is hot. You can see. And the onions are crunchy. You can see. And I could swear that I've got smell-o-vision. Because I can smell that burger. And I think, you know, want to know how irrational I am? I think at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, I think, I should drive to Wendy's right now. You know, if I did that, you know what the consequence would be? I would be choking at 12:30 in the morning because when I eat late at night, it comes back up in the middle of the night. And I think, but the temptation is there. Do you know what I'm talking about. You suffer the same temptations. It may not. It's probably not food for everybody. Some of you, you got this clever thing to say. Your boss said something, and suddenly the devil gave you a clever remark. It wasn't you, but it's very clever. And you think, do I really want God to reign right now? Is he going to, you know, it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Your bodies include your tongue, and you've got that clever thought. It's a zinger of a comeback. Oh, baby, I want to say it. You say, glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, he reigns. I'm going to hold my tongue. I'm going to hold my tongue. The fact of the matter is, when he made things, Adam was given the opportunity to be completely obedient and to say, hallelujah, glory to God, he reigns, he reigns, he reigns every day, he reigns forever. There's that tree, and here's another day. I'm not going to eat the fruit from that tree. I'm not going to do it. God reigns. But he chose to say, I want to reign. That's the problem that we have. We sing about God's control. We sing about obedience. We know it's coming, but right now it's tough. Not just because of us, but we've got the world, the flesh, and the devil that are all saying, you need to watch that on your phone, even if it's evil. You need to drink that, even if it's bad for you. You need to say that cutting thing. You know what people need in their lives? They need me to control their lives. And so you know it's wrong according to the Word of God. He's told you don't meddle. And you know meddling is unsolicited advice. That's all meddling is. And it's been denied us. We know according to the Word of God. We know when others meddle, we know. It breaks the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You don't like it when people tell you what to do, but you sure want to tell somebody else just what they ought to do. And in this life, it's so tempting to want to reign in God's place. There's coming a day when the urge to rebel is going to be gone. That's part of what is coming on Judgment Day. It says, when he comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you understand that? You think about that. Jesus, in John chapter 5, he heals a man on the Sabbath day, a man that had been sick for 38 years. He heals him. And all the religious leaders come around him. All the preachers come around Jesus and they say, you shouldn't do that on the Sabbath day. And Jesus says, I'm always watching my Father. I'm always watching my Father, and I'm going to be obedient to my Father. I see what he does and I love what he does, and I'm always going to obey my Father. I worship Jesus for that. Because brothers and sisters, I don't always obey the Father, and you don't either. We're in this time between Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation chapter 19 where it's a struggle. And sometimes we succeed, and sometimes that we fail. And I just want to be like a coach. Some of you have had a great first quarter. And some of you just tanked. You were bad this week. Don't give up. It's better to obey God. He knows what he's doing. Even though he says, we've got to deny ourselves to follow him every day. And it's irrational. It's irrational. But the fact of the matter is, we can know sin will hurt us. We know sin will hurt someone else, but we can still desire not to do his will, but to do our will. And I want to be like the coach to say, you can do better this next quarter. You can do it. Now there'll come a day when Christ comes and we'll be made like him who said, I always do what my Father wants. And when we're like him in that day, we're going to shout hallelujah. Now, lots of places in the book of Revelation, it talks about worship. And it will say, and they sang, and they sang, and they sang. Over and over, they sang. And people have written beautiful music to most of the songs in Revelation, I think. But in this verse 6, it says, and they shouted. It was so loud, it was like rushing waters. I don't know if you've ever stood by Niagara Falls. Anybody ever? It's an awesome thing, isn't it? So that's what John is telling us as he's experiencing in this vision, the end of things. He's saying, everybody's shouting so loud, it was like water. The ground was shaking. Or like some awesome strike of lightning with the thunder that just in the temple, Psalm 29 says, when the lightning struck near the temple, everybody shouted glory. And we're going to be so thankful because the days of our striving are over. The struggle to obey. The struggle to obey will be over, and we'll just obey. And though it seems a long time in between Genesis chapter 3 and Revelation 19, this time on earth seems a long time. How much time is it in eternity? Most of the time is ahead of us. All eternity ahead of us. And in that time, we are going to serve the Lord and serve each other. You know what? When they were trying to trick Jesus, and they were trying to test Jesus, and they were trying to embarrass Jesus, and they said, quiz question. They learned, don't do the quiz question thing with Jesus, because he always had the answers. Quiz question, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's our future. That's our future in Christ Jesus. That's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to seeing Christ, but we're also looking for a change in ourselves where we'll actually experience the rule of God completely. Now, in the Old Testament, they had a theocratic kingdom where God appointed first judges and then kings, and they were supposed to obey the Lord and experience his reign, and they had the power of government to enforce obedience to God. And you know what? It didn't work. Because the people didn't have the law written on their hearts. They didn't want to obey. And when people don't want to obey, they'll find a way around it. You know, the government writes more and more legislation to try to control the investors on Wall Street. Did you know that? They're writing because someone has figured out a way to take the rules and bend the rules or twist the rules and make money on it. Do you think there's ever going to be an end of more legislation and more trying to skirt? Not until Christ comes. But when Christ comes, all the saved commodity traders, they're going to rejoice over obedience. Brothers and sisters, let's not wait until Christ comes to be sold out on obedience. It's the best way. Just look at us old people in the church. I can say that now. When I first came here, I was one of the young crowd. Now I'm one of the old crowd. And I thank the Lord, it's not because I've been here that long. We've got a lot more young people. I want to say to the young people, look at the old timers in the church and see if their lives have been blessed or not for trying to follow God. My grandson, Owen, he was bullied, and it pains me to see him bullied. So we're talking about it. He said, were you ever bullied? Gra, calls me Gra. Were you ever bullied, Gra? I said, sure I was. Everybody gets bullied, I think. He said, who bullied you? So I named a couple of the bullies that bullied me. He said, and what are they doing now? I said, they're dead. Does that surprise you? They are. I didn't kill anybody. Honest engine. They lived a life of self-indulgence. And as the Bible would say, they received in themselves due penalty for their sin. The way of the Lord is good and righteous. And I know it feels like dying to say no to yourself. I'm working on that every day. I very rarely eat. I think I told you about the last time I ate 6 eclairs in a row. It's been, it must be 15 years. He can be taught. I can say no to myself and yes to God. You can say no to yourself and yes to God. We need the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come naturally, but it does come supernaturally. And as we allow the Lord to use us and speak through us, it's not just for our blessing, but our lives become a testimony for Jesus Christ. We become ambassadors for the cross, and we influence the world for good and for God. May He grant us power until we see Him face to face.